Welcome to another episode of Men's Bible Study. Dr. Justin Hillhouse joins us this morning to conclude our series, Stepping into Greatness. If you have your copy of God's Word ready, we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 31 as we look at a nation following God and His commands and for us not to be fearful of what God commands. Now, let's hear from Dr. Hillhouse.
If you have your copy of God's Word, open it up, turn it on. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. Is this going to work?
Yeah.
Yeah. So open up your copy of God's Word. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we're going to look specifically in verses 7 and 8. But if you're just joining us for the first time, we've been going through a series called Stepping into Greatness. And we've been going through the book of Deuteronomy. And as we've been going through that book, we've been looking at Moses. And this has been kind of Moses' swan song, okay? He's about 90 days when this book is being written. He's about 90 days from going off and moving from this life into the next. And so he is beginning to record Israel's history here in Deuteronomy in the book of Deuteronomy. And as he is doing that, he is reminding Israel of where they have come from, what God has done, and then where they are going to go in the future. And so we've been kind of going through that. And so when you look in Deuteronomy chapter 1, you know, he reminds Israel that they were encamped around a mountain. Then all of a sudden it was time for them to go because it was time for them to go into the promised land. And then as you look in Deuteronomy 6, we see the command to obey God's commands and to love God. And when you look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you see the consequences of not following God. And then we fast forward all the way here into Deuteronomy 31. And so we're going to conclude our series today in Deuteronomy 31. And when you read Deuteronomy 31, really it is a recap of everything that Moses has already said. And so kind of as we kind of go through just these two verses, what you will see is a culmination of everything Moses has said, but it is directed to one single person. Now he's talking to a crowd, but everything he is saying is directed to one single person. And so we are not months away now from Moses' death, but rather we are probably a couple weeks, yea, even a couple of days. And so Moses gathers the nation together in Deuteronomy 31. He calls them all together and he reminds them and he says, be strong, be courageous. You are getting ready to go into the promised land. But then in Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, something interesting happens. And this happens in verse 7. It says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Gentlemen, I have great news. I only have one thought today. That's it. Now, woo! Yeah! Is it going to be a short? I only have one thought, and here's the thought. God works. God works, but He chooses to work through His people, and He chooses to work through you. God works, and He chooses to work through His people, and He chooses to work through you. Look at what it says there in verse 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all of Israel. So get the picture. Moses calls Israel together, okay? And then he gives a little talk in verses 3 through 6. And then in verse 7, he's talking to everybody. In verse 7, he says, now, Joshua, I want you to come up here on stage with me. Joshua is kind of the next leader of Israel. And I say kind of the next leader of Israel because he has not been fully commissioned yet. Now, Joshua has been around. As a matter of fact, Joshua, at this point in the game, he is one of the oldest Israelites around. Everyone else is pretty much younger than Joshua, Caleb, and Moses. They're the old guys, all right? And guess what? Joshua has been around for a while. Joshua was there when they crossed the Red Sea. Joshua was there when they were encamped around Mount Sinai. Joshua was there when he saw Moses in his face coming down off the mountain holding the Ten Commandments like you've seen Charlton Heston do. Joshua was there when they built the golden calf. He didn't he wasn't a proponent of that, but he saw it happen. Joshua was there when manna fell from heaven to feed the Israelites. Joshua was there and was called upon to go in and to check out for the first time the promised land. And he and Caleb were the only ones that came back with a good report that said, yes, people are big. Yes, the land is flowing with milk and honey. But they were the only two that said, yes, we can go in and we can take it out. And so Joshua is one of the guys that has gone through the desert for 40 years with the children of Israel, as God promised, because they came back with a good report. The old generation that they were a part of has all died off. And Joshua is the heir apparent to Moses. And the children of Israel all know this. He is the heir apparent. In Numbers chapter 27, verse 18 through 20, it says this: So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so the whole Israelite community will obey him. There was a point in time where Moses said, hey, Israel, I want y'all to come here. This guy right here, Joshua, he is second in command. And he didn't do it in secret. It wasn't something that was, you know, that kind of they emailed a memo out and said, hey, listen. No, they brought everybody together and all eyes were on Moses and Joshua. And Moses said, Joshua, this guy, he is second in command. He is in charge. He speaks for me when I am not able to speak or when I can't speak. When there are issues that need to happen and things that need to be addressed, guess what? Just take them to Joshua. He was given authority to go and to do. And so what happens is Moses calls Joshua up. And he turns to Joshua and he says, hey, listen, you're going into the promised land. And he publicly commissions Joshua. So there is no question coming up soon who will be in charge when Moses leaves. But then he says this: everybody's looking. And Moses turns and looks at Joshua and he talks directly to him in front of everybody else. And look at what he says. He says, be strong and courageous. He's not talking to the Israelites as a whole. He's turning and he's specifically talking to Joshua. He says, be strong and be courageous. Just in verse 7, we see three important things. The first thing is this, is that Joshua needs to continue to trust God, to trust that God's promise will be fulfilled. And guess what that says to me and you? we need to trust God as well. We've talked about this over the past several weeks, is that as the children of Israel have been wandering around in the desert, God has been promising over and over and over again, hey, listen, you are going to go into the promised land, and now it is time for them to enter into the promised land. And beforehand, they said, we don't trust you, Lord, we're too scared. And now this time, Moses is saying, hey, listen, Joshua, you have got to trust. The children of Israel are hearing this, but guess what? The leader has to trust God as well. God said, I'm giving you the land. Get ready. You've been wandering around the desert for 40 years, and now it is time to go in. Why does Moses tell Joshua to be strong and courageous? Because there is always an element of fear going into the unknown. You know, fear is an unpleasant emotion that is caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause pain, or it is a threat. The universal function of fear is to avoid or to reduce harm. How many of you in here are scared of heights? Yeah? All right? You're like, hey, let's climb this mountain. And some of you are like, no. Let's go on the ski lift. And you're like, no, I'm not doing that. How many of you are like scared of bugs? Am I the only one that doesn't like bugs? How many of y'all, when you're out camping, you start doing this? I'm telling you, man. Are y'all scared of anything?
Snakes.
Snakes? Okay, finally. Scared of snakes. What else are y'all scared of?
Spiders.
Spiders? Okay, thank you. See, you're scared of bugs. What else? Anybody else? What else are you scared of? Huh?
Spiders aren't bugs.
Spiders aren't bugs? We'll have that debate afterwards. What else you got? Your wife? You're scared of your wife? Yes. There you go.
We were all thinking it.
Thank you.
Mother-in-law.
A mother-in-law. There you go, mother-in-law. All right, now we're starting to get somewhere. All right, see? Y'all are scared of stuff. It's fearful. Hey, guys, the reason why we are fearful is because we don't want to be harmed. That's it. We don't want to get hurt, whether it's emotionally, psychologically, physically. We want to be safe. And yet, fear and certain types of fear can be debilitating. They can cause us, each one, to a point of not being able to progress, not to be able to move forward. I'll never forget, we were out on the lake. And we pulled into this cove, and it's like 3 foot of water, and I jump in the water, my wife jumps in, some friends jump in the water, you know, we're hanging out on their boat, and my son, he's 8 years old, and he's standing there at the edge of the boat, and we're like, hey, come on in, the water's fine, and he goes, uh-uh. We said, what's wrong? He said, I'm scared. I'm like, what are you scared of? And he goes, I don't know. And I'm like, are you scared of sharks? Because there are no sharks in the lake. And he goes, no, I know that. I said, are you scared of a big fish? He said, no. I said, you jump in the pool? And he goes, yeah. I said, so jump in. And he said, no. He could not describe at 8 years old why he was so scared, but he was scared to death to jump into that water. And so for the whole afternoon, he just kind of ran up and down the center aisle of the boat, refusing to jump in. And we're all in the water. We're all having fun. But fear debilitated him from getting into the water. And we look at that and we say, well, you know, he's 8 years old, and to be honest, we all look at that and we say, that's kind of silly. But there are things that are going on in our life that, man, we need to do, or we need to perform, or we need to, you know, God has commanded us to do, but we are too scared and too fearful to do them. And we don't even know what the consequences are, if there are even consequences. You know what the consequence of my son jumping in the lake at that point in time was? Absolutely nothing. The consequence was he was going to get wet. We are in enough water to have fun, but not too much water that he was going to drown. It was completely and totally safe. Yet he was fearful and scared, and it stopped him from jumping into the water. There are things that are going on in our lives right now that God is calling us to do, and we're scared to do them. And we may not even be able to explain why. Well, why is that? Well, I don't know. I'm just scared. Scared of what? I don't know. I'm just simply scared. I am fearful. And for us as men, God has called us to live a certain way and to follow his commands. And there is a fear of following God's commands and what it could do to us and what the world could do to us, what our boss could do to us, what our wives could do to us. We are scared. Yet when you look in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says this. In fact, this is the love for God, to keep his commands. And then look at this. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God, what does it say? Overcomes the world. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. In some form or fashion, men, we win. I love what Paul says. He says, listen, to live as Christ and to die is gain. Whether I live for Christ or die for Christ, it doesn't matter. In the end, we win. So what do we have to fear? And what does Moses tell Joshua? Don't be scared. Do not fear. Rather be strong and be courageous. Step up to the plate. And for some of us men, it is time for us to step up to the plate in our families. It's time for us to step up to the plate in our jobs and to stop fearing what is going to happen. If I am living for God, if I'm doing what God commands, what do we need to fear, gentlemen? Romans chapter 8, verse 15. The spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. When we were sinners, when we did not know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, there is a definite fear. But look at what Scripture says. When I believe Christ, when I begin to trust Christ, when I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, I don't have to ever live in fear again. We have moved past that. Somebody once said this, sometimes the Lord calms the storm, and sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. So when I follow God and when I follow his commands, the situation may not turn out the way I want it to. It may not turn out the way I think it should, but God always provides and always make sure to take care of you in your obedience to him. You should not fear this world or what they are going to do to you for living the way God has commanded us to live, but rather to live strong and to live courageous. And then look at the second part. Moses tells Joshua in front of the crowd, hey, listen, you be strong and courageous. Everybody's looking at you. Well, I've told the children of Israel, be strong and courageous, but now I'm telling you specifically, be strong and courageous. But then he says this. He says, now it's time for you to go. Be strong and courageous, and now go. He must go. I must go. God promised them the promised land. But guess what? They got to go into the promised land. Look at what it says. For you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give to them. Joshua was not called to stay on the east side of the Jordan and say, okay, y'all go on over there and take care of it, and I'm going to sit here. And Moses said, you're going to go with everybody. Not only are you going to go with everybody, you're actually going to lead them. But you have to go with them. He was not called to lead from afar or from an office or from a desk. But they all had to go. No man left behind. Joshua and the whole lot of them. A couple weeks ago, John Mark talked about the children of Israel being camped around the mountain. And God said, hey, listen, it's time to go into the promised land and take it. And it's time for you to go. You got to move. Move. And for a lot of you, that touched on some stuff for you personally. As a matter of fact, I heard many comments about that statement that John Mark made, that the Israelites are circling the mountain, and then it's time to stop circling the mountain, and it's time to move and go and claim God's promise. And here we have a repeat of that. The children of Israel are camped on the east side of the Jordan, and in a few days, it's going to be time to go. In a few days, it's going to be time to put all this talk into action. I like what Isaiah 48:17 says. It says this: this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best, who directs you in the way you should go. Our God is a God of movement. Our God is a God of movement. He wants us to go. He wants us to be busy. He wants us to be moving. Philippians 3:13-14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. We're not just looking ahead. We're not thinking about what is ahead, but rather we are moving ahead. We are going. Paul talks about running the race in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There is the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Tells us to what? To go into all of the world. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he tells his disciples, hey, listen, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. What is Jesus saying? Don't hang out here in Jerusalem the whole time. Rather, go. Get busy. Get out of here. Move forward. You know, one of the biggest obstacles is going. It's just creating that movement and keeping us going. We look at the end result and we focus on the end result and we say, how in the world am I going to get there? There are some of you that are looking at your lives and you're going, hey, listen, I want to be a godly husband, but I don't really know how to get there. There are some of you that say, man, I want to be, you know, a faithful church, but how do I get there? There's some of you, hey, I want to be better. How do I get there? No matter what it is, we look at a task and it can overwhelm us. Real quick, just let me give you a few thoughts on that. First of all, you should make a plan. Your plan should be as specific as possible. Not only make a plan, but also commit to the plan. A lot of times we make plans, but then we're like, yeah, that's a good plan, but do I really want to do it? And we must take time to commit to our plan and to say, hey, listen, we're going to finish this no matter what. Then next we need to divide and conquer, splitting things up. You don't become a godly husband, a faithful servant. You don't become these things overnight. There are very few people I know that are 22 years old and CEOs of large companies. Are y'all with me on that? It takes time. It takes effort. There is a process, and it takes one little step at a time. But you need to take those steps, and you need to take those little steps every single day. Divide and conquer. Take those big tasks and begin to put them down into, and pare them down into small tasks. Make it a habit. Guys, for a lot of things that we want to accomplish, it just needs to be something that is habit forming. We do every day. You know, for some of you, you say, man, I want to grow in my walk with God. Well, how do I do that? You know what? Just every day. Every day, just read one verse. Just try it. Say, man, how do I grow in my faith? Read one verse a day. Just read one verse. It doesn't matter where it's from, but begin the habit of doing something small and do it repetitively over and over and over again. Hey, listen, I want to increase my walk with God. Hey, man, begin to pray when you're in the car. Or listen to the Bible when you're working out. Do small little bitty things, and over time it will add up. And over time you will see growth. Make it a habit. And then celebrate the small wins. Celebrate the small wins. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life, man, where I struggle with my quiet time. There are times when sometimes it just doesn't happen. I'll be honest, it just doesn't happen. But then there are weeks when, man, it's every day I'm on fire. And I celebrate that. I'll wake up Sunday morning and go, boom, 7 days with you, God. And it wasn't much time every day, but then it adds up day after day after day. And next thing you know, just over time, I'm spending not minutes, but hours and days and then weeks and then months. And celebrate those small wins. For some of you, this past weekend was the first time to serve. You said, you know what, I'm going to try my luck out in the parking lot. That's something to celebrate. Something to celebrate. Something to go home and say, honey, I survived the parking lot at church. That's something to celebrate. And you need to take time and to celebrate those small wins. And to say, hey, God, you know, I'm just going to celebrate your goodness. I'm going to celebrate your grace. And God, I just want to celebrate here that I got the opportunity to serve you. I got the opportunity to spend time with you. God, I got the opportunity to share my faith in the office. God, I got the opportunity to go and to visit the person next door. Celebrate the small wins. Here's the deal. At the end of the day, God is telling Moses. Moses is telling Joshua, hey, listen. You need to be strong and courageous. You need to trust in my promises. And then you need to go. You need to get moving. And then third and finally, we see that it's going to take some work. It's going to take some work. Joshua will have work to do. You and I have work to do. Look at what it says in verse 7. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. Be strong and courageous. Joshua, you need to go with Israel into the promised land, not lead from afar, but be with them all the way. You need to go, and then you're going to have to work. The administration of dividing up land, of getting people in the right place, that's work. That is a process, and it's going to take some time. And the same is for us. God does not call us to be lazy, but rather to work. Jesus says this in John chapter 6, verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed a seal of approval. Proverbs 14:23. I love this verse. All hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. And that is a great verse, just as we go out and we work physically in this world, but it also applies to us spiritually. Because let me just kind of throw this out, is that there are a lot of guys that are a lot of talk, but they don't really work hard spiritually. Oh yeah, they know a lot about the Bible, but man, do they apply that to their lives? Man, do they go? Or do they just kind of sit there and fill up? Hard work brings profit. That's both physically, but that's also spiritually. When I work hard at growing in my relationship with Jesus, guess what? It is going to pay off in how I live and what I say. I like what somebody said. He said that there are three kinds of workers. For example, when a piano has to be moved, the first kind gets behind the piano and pushes. The second kind pulls the piano and guides. And then the third kind grabs the piano stool. I know those guys, all right? I know those guys. I know the guys that pick up the piano stool and say, yeah, I got it. And he leaves the rest for all the hard work. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says this, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Guys, it's going to take some hard work. It takes work to grow in our spiritual lives. It takes work to follow God. It takes work to follow his commands. But do not give up. Keep at it. Take those small bites and do just something small every single day, and you will see your faith grow. You will see your obedience explode, and people will begin to look at you and see the change in you that God wants you to have. So as we conclude this series in Stepping Up to Greatness, we've talked a lot about Israel. We've talked a lot about the nation following God, obeying his commands. But at the very end of Deuteronomy, everything that Moses has told the children of Israel, he now turns and he looks at Joshua and he says, it's not just for these guys. It is specifically for you, and I am talking to you as well. And not only am I doing it in private, but I'm doing it in public so everyone can see and everyone can know what you are charged with. God is going to work through you, Joshua. And gentlemen, God wants to work through you, each individual person in here. He wants to work through you, and he wants to work through you to change your world around you, to bring people and to point people to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you that we could come here today. Open up your word. God, thank you that we get to see what you have told Joshua. And God, how we need to remain faithful, to be strong and courageous, to trust in your promises. God, how we need to go and to move. And Father, how we need to work. And Father, each one of us here in this room, we all know that in our minds. We know that in our hearts. But Father, may we show that in our actions. God, we love you. We thank you. And may we be salt in this bland world. May we be light in our world of influence. And Father, may we be the husbands that you want us to be. May we be the examples in the office that you need us to be. And Father, may we be the men that people see on the ball field that point people to Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's men said, amen. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's Bible study. For more information regarding Cottonwood Creek, go to cottonwoodcreek.org. We hope you tune in next time for more episodes of Men's Bible Study.